Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. God bless you once again, my radio listeners. I am so glad to be back before you once again. I tell you that God has been good in everything, on time, and never late. I just want to say bless you tonight. Bless you, bless you, bless you. I'm so glad to be back before you once again, bringing forth the word of God and bringing forth the true word of God, that the word will not fail, but it will go forth and it will go out and it will accomplish that in which it is sent. This is Pastor Otis Farley with the Anointed Word Ministry. I pray that God has been as good to you as he has to me, and I pray, praise God, that you have constantly stayed in contact with him, and regardless of what you were going through or going through, hold to his unchanging hand. Never let go the hand of the Almighty God. Because I want to let you know tonight that we're living in perilous times. We're living in times like never before. Do not ever get it mixed up or twisted, because this is nothing that we have already been through. This is something new. But nevertheless, God is there for us, and he has made a way for our escape. As you may know, there are perilous times. There are things happening upon the face of the earth that has never happened before, that is happening right now. But there's no need for us to separate from the Almighty God, but stay with him until the end, because he had already promised, and he said it, and he will do it. He said, I will be with you even unto the end of the world. So there is no need to fear. There is no need to be afraid, but hold to the hands of the Almighty God. Hold on to his unchanging hand. No matter what you go through, God has already made a way for your escape. It doesn't matter how the enemy seems that he's coming, because we already know that the devil has a plot, but our God has a plan. And I want to say to you tonight, come in, listen to the word of God. Get your pencils, get your notepad. Take down things that are said on the broadcast. Write down the scripture that is mentioned in the broadcast. Open your heart and your minds unto the word of the Lord, because I want to let you know there is life in the word. There is life in the word of God. There is no death in it, but there's life in it. And I want to let you know it's life that will lift you from every circumstance that you might be going through. The word of God will lift you above the circumstance. There is no need to be fearful, because he said it, that he has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and of a sound mind. Yes, he has given that to us. But if we would learn and do the commandments of what he has asked us to do and follow in his footsteps in the righteous pathway that he set before us, remember, it doesn't matter what you go through. You can go through the fire. The three Hebrew boys went in the fire, but they came out all right. See, that's what he'll do. Even though the fire is raging, it seems like it's burning and nothing will never stop. But I want to let you know tonight, my friend, he is a God that's in control. He has it all in control. It does not matter how the enemy try to do it or see it or want to go handle it, but God has already made a way for your escape, because he said it in his word, I will perfect that which concerns you. The Lord loves us tonight, and he loves us just where we are. You just have to learn to come to him just as we are, and he in no wise cast us out. To my Most High tonight, I come to you, my Most High, and I thank you for the opportunity once again to come before, praise God, in this arena of communicating your word, your life, because your word is life. To speak to those that think it's all over, that they have no life. There is no way out, but there is a way out. It's how it has been put before you. But when you know who the Lord is, follow his leading. You cannot go wrong. And I thank you, Father, for allowing us once again to come and expound upon your word and bring clarity and understanding to the people that are listening. Because you said it, whenever you speak that which is edifying for the listeners. Make it, praise God, that they would have itching ears to hear that which is right, that would bring life and not death. And tonight, Father God, I speak life over this broadcast tonight. I speak life because the word that I speak is life. And Father, you said it in your word, that in the tongue there is life and there is death. But Father, I choose to speak life tonight. to those that are going through, to those that have nowhere to turn, to those that have lost their jobs, have no income, no finances, no place to live or whatever. God, you are the one that's there to make the way, because you promise you will supply the need. Lord, I'm teaching us how to turn to you and seek after you. And you will no wise cast us away. You will give it and you will provide us, because you are our provider. You are our provider. And I thank you tonight. But tonight, I would like to speak with you briefly. It's going to be probably a part two and a part three to this message. But tonight I want to talk to you about, do you know the man named Elijah? Do you know Elijah? I'm not talking about somebody in your neighborhood, Elijah Brown or Elijah Robinson or Elijah Graham, whoever it might be. No, I'm talking about the man of God, Elijah. Elijah has a message for us tonight. And I want you guys to listen, write down, so that you can hear what is being said. Because the word of God does not go out void, but it goes out and accomplishes that in which it was said. And tonight we're talking about the message from Elijah. Now in the Old Testament, you know, about the last two verses in the Old Testament, God makes a prophetic utterance. And you know the utterance is this. If we look for it, for one thing, if we're looking for it, we're going to find that the utterance that he spoke was found in Malachi, not Malachi 10. They're not talking about bringing you the tithes into the storehouse. No, ma'am, no, ma'am, no, sir. We're talking about Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Write that down. Malachi 4, 5, and 6. He said, behold, I send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers. You see, what he's saying here, everybody has turned against each other and turned away from each other. He said, but I'm going to turn you back to the Father, and the Father going to go back to the children. And lest I come and smite the earth with a curse, in order that we may understand what it meant by when Elijah message of the last days, we need to understand the work and life of Elijah. And when he was here on this earth, you see, God is using Elijah. He's not somebody who just to make the need. He was on this earth. He was here. And in 1 Kings 17:1, we read, and Elijah the Tisbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gil, said unto Ahab, as the Most High God of Israel liveth, therefore, whom I send, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now, Elijah is speaking because God has given him this authority to do so, and his word is his bond. He don't just have a gift for gab, but he have the word of God in his mouth. And that was quite an announcement, an announcement to Ahab, the king of Israel. Ahab said unto him, well, what is this man talking about? Who is he? Who gives him that authority to speak this? But Israel had gone into adultery, America. Now the people had gone far into adultery, America. And they had been the people of God. Did you hear what the word of God said? Had been. Meaning you're no more, because you done switched. You done changed your worship. You done changed your God. You done changed your teaching. You done changed your living holy for the Lord. He said their basic teachings were the word of God. And the prophets, there is no doubt about that, and they still cling now to much of their old religion. You see, one thing about the people of today, we have to learn the world is full of religion, but we shouldn't be dealing in religion. We should be dealing in spiritual. You are a spiritual being, not a religious person. You're not a denomination. You're not a Baptist. You're not a Catholic. You're not a Presbyterian. You're not a Seventh-day Adventist. You should be a spirit being, not religious. But they had mixed it with satisfying portions of the worship of the sun. See, many have turned away from the S-O-N, now they're worshiping of the S-U-N, which is Balaam worship. Now, right now, my people, we have everything going on in the house of God. People are dancing. They're doing the nay-nay in the house of God. They're doing it all in the house of God. But you see, you done brought the sun Babylon worship into the house of the Lord. And God is not going to smile on this. He's not going to wink, because he said, I won't have you to be ignorant and to allow this to come into what you may call a church. It's not a church, people. It's an entertainment center. They're doing everything in the church that they do in the bars. All they need to do now is add some rooms in there and start renting them out. They're doing everything except worship God. They have gone further and further into their, what, digression from the commandments of God. Until at the last, the God of heaven said, you have been worshiping up the sun. You have been putting the sun above the true God of heaven. Now the sun made a torment, made a torment on Israel. See, all this started in the days of Israel, and it's still going on to this day. That's what I'm trying to tell you. What's happening then is happening now. He's going to deal with it. He said, all right, then you may have the sun. God said, whatever you want to worship, I'm going to let you have it. But in that day, in that dreadful day of the Lord, you will know who rules. And God drew back the curtain on the clouds and allowed the sun to blaze down upon the land of Israel with this scorching heat until those people got to the place where all the things that they did not want to see anymore. It was the sun, because God caused all that heat to come down and show them, let me show you what you're working with. Let me show you who I am, because you have forgotten me. You turned your backs on me. You started worshiping up other gods. The sun, the object, their worship, which they had elevated above God himself. See, God got a way that's mighty, mighty sweet. There ain't nothing you can do about it. You either on it or you don't. And now the worship of God now became the very object of their torment until the land was scorched and all the leaves of the trees had fell from the groves of Babylon. They worshiped their God up on the high places in the shady grove. But now there was no shade. Now there was nothing to protect them from the burning sun. You see, you take what God gives you and you use it for the devil's activity. Now we're allowing the people to come into the church, and you're saying it's a church. Well, you're saying that God said, remember me. Uh-huh. Well, you serve the Holy Communion. That's what you say. But you got people in there dropping it and shaking and bumping and popping in the house of the Lord. Oh, you don't know. Come, hey, you need to listen. Listen up, listen up. And God said to the prophet, O King Ahab, remember this. You have rejected your God. You have turned your backs upon the commandments of God. You prefer the tradition of men and the teaching of men. You have honored the sun, S-U-N, above the Most High God, your creator, the creator of heaven and earth. Now you may have the sun. I'm going to give you what you want. You see, you think you know what you want, but God knows what you need. And then Israel did what they didn't do, even after all they've done, praise the Lord. God, they didn't even want to repent. What you mean repent? How you spell that? How you pronounce that? Because they don't use that anymore in the house of God. They don't use it in a conversation. They want to white it out, because repent. He said, Israel did not repent. You just can't imagine the havoc that it did in Israel. They did not repent. Oh, America, America, America. They did not repent. They did not soften their heart. Their hearts are hardened. Hatred, violence, malice, envy, murder. Come on, everything. Sodomite. Everything is in America. We don't want to repent. Our hearts are not even soft. It has gotten harder. Hallelujah. They did not change them spiritually. Not at all. They just grew more and more bitter. Bitter. People hate me. I hate you because you this color. I hate you because you that. I don't like you. You don't like. What is this? It's madness. But because they did not want to repent and acknowledge God, the word got around. It was so secret that it had told plainly, they knew it was punishment from Jehovah God. This is because their obedience became our rejection of the commandments of God. They knew they were suffering, but proud man does not like to change. No, because you figure you better than me and I'm better than you. You got more than I got more than you got. My color brings a different about me, your color brings a different about me. But you don't understand. Well, we have been doing something. We hate to change. We hate to give up our ways of living. So they cling to their old ways of living and preference to, and just don't even look at the Ten Commandments. Right now, praise God, nobody deals with the Ten Commandments. If it is a commandment, it is to be always used. commandment of God. No, no commandment of God. Look what happened. We took God out of our schools and the devil stepped in, and he's been killing ever since. Hey, God, you devil shot. Because we allowed the devil to come in. And that's a showdown, see? The showdown became, praise God, up on our schools and violence in our streets. Because the showdown was because, praise God, after a little over some years, sin brought a showdown, you see? It's a showdown coming. In 1 Kings chapter 18, God said to Elijah the prophet, go and show yourself to Ahab. They really told him, they have had test enough now. I brought enough calamity upon them, they should know by now. Now let them have a chance to decide. What are we going to do about it? Okay, so now we have shootings in our schools, so now guess what we're doing about it, people? Now they're giving the teachers guns. They're going to turn on each other and even on the students. That's not the way to give them guns in their hands. My God. How they had an opportunity enough to give them a chance to make their final decision. And the decision was put the prayer back in the schools. Take the guns out. But, oh, y'all want to give them guns. Now watch this. Stand back and watch this. Stand back and watch and see what happens. The devil is in it. You're passing guns around now for the teachers to carry in the classroom. What no nonsense? What craziness? The teachers fighting the teachers and the students fighting the teachers and the teachers fighting the students. You still have made matters worse. So all these people gather together up on Mount Carmel, the high palladium of the mountain on the north side of the Palestine. And here they came. They came. The people came. Oh, yes, they came, honey. They came. My God, they came. The people of Israel. These individuals clean. They still cling to the pagan ways. They don't want to give it up. They like it. That they have mixed with the word of the true God. Elijah had warned them, the warning to America today, because you will not turn from your wicked, evil ways, and you are continuously compounding sin upon sin. And what do you expect to get out of it? Nothing but bloodshed and sin. If you want it to rain, you must come to God and repent. If you want things to change, you must come to God and repent. You must repent. To God, not man. You going to passing the law to have guns in the school. The devil sitting back laughing his way, just laughing because he knows from this it's going to turn out to be a bloody battle. You giving the devil weapons to use against each other. And there, the people came by the thousands. Oh, yes, up onto the top of the Mount Carmel. And they poured up on the mountainside. Finally came the hour that had been appointed by Elijah the prophet, when the people must make their choice and then take their stand one way or the other. Just think of it. That was Elijah the preacher. That not one, praise the Lord, was so popular. A popular preacher? No, by no means. He did not have the backing of the great state and the church and the laws and the government. He didn't have that. He didn't have that. He did not have millions of lawyer supporters. No. Elijah did not care what the people thought of him. He only cared about what God told him to do. And that's what it's all about. And that was a sign, a scene that was not, that he was not, he was a single-handed without a bodyguard or friend. Only friend he had with him in this position was God himself. But he knew that God was on his side and that was all that mattered to him. He well knew the fury of the people had reached a high pitch. And that the temple was very flared. People, not everybody against each other, the skinheads, the Ku Klux Klan. Everybody's against everybody. Everybody's against everybody. But it don't matter what you do, it's what God said you should be doing. Well, he knew that the fear of the people had reached a high pitch, and their temples was very flared, like now. People hate blacks so much, they just want to kill everyone they see. The spirit of hatred has become double strong. You see, when people don't understand something, they hate it or they fearful. And the king, as a referee, stood there before those people and listened to the mighty challenges of Elijah. Now, the king had a chance. The people had suffered. See, suffered under the scorching sun. it can be changed. The God of heaven will listen if our people would only repent. R-E-P-E-N-T. Repent. Repent. People don't mention that word anymore. They shut it down. They closed it off. They covered it up. They white it up. But if you would do what the Lord said, if you would repent, repent. See, that was an appeal. That was an offering to Baal. It was a very simple and sincere. Now, I will tell you this. What do? You choose an ox over the offering of Baal. They were used to that. They always offered the blood of an ox in connection with their pagan worship. Pagan worship ceremonies. They would place the ox high on the grill of the great altar, slaughter it. And as the blood flowed down from the dying bull, the people would go into their debasing and immoral dancing and spreading the blood over everybody, around all the worshipers, their worshipers. Uh-huh. And they would use that. Only where they were used to have shade for their shady practices on the hillside. But there was no shade now. Oh, God had done moved the shade. He done took away the trees and no trees. There were trees but no leaves. Elijah said, pick your offering, and I will take the other one. He gave them their first choice. He was very courageous, very courteous. In 1 Kings 18:23-24, you offered your sacrifice and cried to Baal, asking Baal to hear you. Then he said to them, hey, I will pray in the God that answered me by fire. Let him be God. Hey, God, Elisha and Jelasha. And the challenge was that Elijah brought to the people was very simple and very clear. Now, friends, there is no use to compromise. There is no use to go halfway. If you're going to go with God, go all the way. Because he's not a part-time God. If God be God, serve him, said Elijah. If Baal be God, then you serve him. You see, you have to understand, praise God, you can't mix truth with error. And there were many individuals who think that it was possible to mix a little bit of Baal and a little bit of true worship of God. They thought that it would do the job. But guess what? They thought that it does not do any harm if there was a little bit of error. That was God said, he made it so plain that a fool couldn't error. A little bit of falsehood. A little bit of paganism. A little bit of the Sunday. A little bit of tradition. And guess what? And you mix it all up with the worship of God. Oh, yes, is it all right? But no, it's not. Here on the mountaintop, Elijah said, call for a sharp reform. And all the way surrender. God hates half-hearted, uncompromising worship. You see, we go to church every Sunday, my people. We sit up and we walk in there like we walking out on a magazine, head hard in the air, proud heart, proud spirit. In there, no God. You're walking up in there like you're dressed for a fashion show, and everybody's all caught up on, but you have no God. The Bible says that you raise, so that's what he told. He said, you praise me with your lips, but your heart are far from me. You don't worship me. Praise God. You worship the things that are in the world and the things that are at your seeing at that moment. He warned us in Revelation 3:15-16, I know thy works, and thou art neither whole, cold, nor hot. And I would that you were cold or hot. I wish it was cold and hot. I don't like lukewarm. He said, then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. There are lots of people today who are living a halfway life. They're living in the church and doing everything they do in front of the pastor in the church. But when they get out, they're a different type of person. We depart, la, la, la. If we are going to hang on to tradition, we might as well go all the way in the world. But if you are going to serve God, then we ought to serve him with all of our hearts, our soul, and our body, and our mind, and our spirit. If you're going to serve God, just do it in the spirit, because he said, they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. But you see, Ahab accepted the challenge, and the challenge was, but there was another situation going on. Praise God, that's going on now in the church today. The pastor don't care nothing about your soul, baby. They're going on because they want that money basket passed around. They're not going to care whether you get in heaven or not. They're not concerned about your soul. That's why the Bible says, you, every man, seek out his own soul salvation with fear and trembling. That's what the word says. Examine yourself. The pastor don't need to examine you. You examine yourself. You got pastor's religion. That's what it is. But Ahab and the king accepted that challenge, and he turned to the religious leader on his side. And do you know how many representatives he had? How many preachers and priests was 850? 850 preachers and priests. Uh-huh. Yes. The preachers of Babylon versus the preachers of God. Yes. And they were their doctors, and they had their doctor's degrees and university degrees with all their theology and with all that, you know, their learning and all the refinement of their props and their tradition and religion practice. But that did not move, praise God. It didn't move Elijah, because Elijah was there to do what God had called him to do. And they knew the ceremony. They knew the ritual. They went to sprinkle the water and went to offer incense and went to burn candles and chant the mass. They had practiced this ritual very well, and it was a very pious affair, you see. Pious affair. See, this is what all these five affairs do when y'all get together. But all these Eastern stars and these Masons and all this mess, you doing all this stuff. But I want to let you know, God is not a God that he don't see. He see it all, and he knows all. But in time to come, yes, yes, yes. In time to come, yes. They that have practiced rituals well and was a very pious affair, and made a great impression on the people. Oh, yes, honey. 850 preachers, a priest. They were there. They were there to show up, and to make Elijah look like he was a fool, like he didn't know nothing. And over all on the other side of the line, prophets of God, just one, my friend. If they had been voting at that time, he would have been outvoted to that one man. But he didn't care, because he knew who was on his side. Oh, my. That is as far as the religious leaders was concerned. Where did the majority stand? Almost all stood over on the other side. Later on, God gave Elijah some secret information. Hey, God, I do have about 700 in all Israel who will not bow to the knee of Baal. That was encouraging information. Elijah knew then, I know I'm on the right side. But they were on the mountaintop that day. And up there, all the people was siding with the priest. Why? It says here, for the 850 prophets of Baal now, I want you to catch this phrase. I think they get the message now. Guess what? They had 800, but he had everything he needed, because he had the Almighty God, the Most High God. And you see, praise God, because he was a man of God and wanted to do right, the preacher, praise God, they brought in this Jezebel. And the preachers who ate at Jezebel's table, in verse 19, which ate at Jezebel's table, do you get the point? They were Jezebel men of men. They was their followers. She was a no-gooded woman. That's what she was. Do you see it, friend? Where are the others? Where were they standing on the side? Why did he have sold out their spiritual birthright? Why? Preaching tradition. They ate at Jezebel's table. They were mixing fat from catering to the popular appetites of the people in that day. They ate at the table, Jezebel's table. They fed. They were fed by the state. They were fed by the state preachers. Just like the preachers of today, poor pit, pimping preachers. They preach the way they were paid to preach. Yes, they don't preach salvation. They don't preach soul salvation. They cater to the courts and to the fantasy of society of today. Unfortunately, men have a tendency to preach wherever the money comes from, like the minister of a popular church. When he was asked to preach a temperance sermon in connection with the temper appeal, he said, no. I would not dare preach against liquor in my congregation. Become some of my biggest supporters of my church in liquor business. Yes, it is a terrible thing when preachers eat at Jezebel's table, setting out the most high standard of truth to wax fat from state favor and popular applauses. People are doing it today. This is why people are not preaching salvation. They're not preaching soul salvation to the people. They're being paid, and they don't want to run their prayers They don't want to run their parents away from their congregation because that's how their money come. That's just like the man that he said. But who is preaching about Yahuwah, Yahshua, Jesus? Who's preaching about that? The Most High, who died on Calvary for us and for me and for you when he gave the church the bill for his service and he charged them to listen when they did that. You see, you got to understand the Most High died on Calvary. When he gives the church the bill for his services, he charges them $200 a week. People don't do anything for you free in the church anymore. They charge you for everything, preach you nothing. Sitting, why are you sitting in the church going to hell out of the church? Going to hell out of the church. But I got news for you. Don't worry about it, because the government getting ready to shut you down. You done had your date. You paid no taxes. You get ready to shut your doors. What an awful thing to preach this gospel and gain no profit. What the Bible says, what is it that it profits a man to gain this world and lose his own soul? But you got preachers of today eating from Jezebel's table. And I tell you that what means eating from Jezebel's table, they are never going to go out and preach the truth clearly and straightly. They are going to do everything they can to hold individuals in tradition, giving them and pleasing them that will cater to natural appetites of the flesh. And don't forget that eating from Jezebel's table is a dangerous thing. Hallelujah. It's a dangerous thing, my people. You eat from a table. She slides money in your hand. Yes, that was a prophet. A Baal. Mm-hmm. That was a prophet of Baal. Yes. Preaching and pleasing things and fabulous, mixing up the tradition and calling it giving. If God be God, serve him. Step over the line and go the way. And go all the way. If Baal be God, if you want tradition, you want the world, then go all the way. But don't try to mix it. Yes, Lord. Ha! The opportunity of the prophet of Balaam. So they went ahead of their preparation for the sacrifice. They prepared it. Yes, they went on. They didn't hear that he was saying. They prepared the altar and they prepared the bulls and went through their havish incarnation and then cut his throat. They laid the pieces upon the altar and began to pray and to plead. They became very enthusiastic in verses 26 and 27. And they became so enthusiastic that they jumped up on the altar and shouted. They cut themselves with knives and with lasers. And some people said that if there is, this is how the devil had them. See, the devil don't fool them. Now I got them like a fool. Yes. They're up there cutting themselves with knives and lasers and everything they can cut with stones and what have you. And some people say if there is enough shouting, God must be here. God must be there. They had plenty of shouting and playing and plenty of jumping there. They were all worked up into a great religious excitement and terrified religious frenzy, leaping and cutting themselves. They were very earnest. They was excited. They was just didn't know what to do with themselves. So now you never saw a more earnest group of preachers. Now these are the preachers now from Jezebel's table. They was calling on their God, but they wasn't getting no answer. Baal. You never saw so much of the groups of preachers on a high pitch of religious enthusiasm. And they were wrong and completely wrong. They was calling on their God, Baal. Baal, where are you? Where are you, Baal? We need you now. We got something to prove here. We need you, Baal. Where are you? And they said Elijah began to taunt them. And finally, Elijah mocked them. It's one of the few places in the Bible that you find scarcity. Like, you know, that you're being very sarcastic. The minister must be very careful not to be sarcastic. It is easy to be there in a temptation there. There is no place for sarcasm in the pulpit. Verse 27. But Elijah turned to them, saying, I don't think you are talking quite loud enough, because I think that Baal must be taking a noon nap. You might be shouting a little louder, and he will awake. It was just like being taunted with the bumblebee. Elijah suggested, he said to the Baals, I know that this is going on out on a hunt. Maybe it's going on a hunt. you know he's hunting season is up, and out there in the mountains the other day, he has gone out deer hunting. Now, this is Elijah punching Baal because he's letting them know, I know the God out there. You done did all this here, but your God can't answer you. You done prayed to the witch doctor. You done seen the palm reader. Yeah. You done seen everybody you thought could give you a word of an easy word. He said, send somebody after him and call him back and tell your God you are desperate. You need him right now. They couldn't hardly stand it. They saw how foolish their pretense is, yet at the same time they were willing to do anything but obey. He is remarkable, people. We're willing to do almost anything, but yes, what God asks us, it seemed to be so hard. He said, I must do what God says. I must do what he asks me. Religion is just not that simple, but people say. But now listen at this. But this is too hard. I don't want to do that. I don't want to make me look peculiar. Oh, really? The devil got you hoodwinked. So Elijah repaired the altar of God. Getting ready to close, praise the Lord. Elijah repaired the altar of God. Now over here on this side of truth, it is the time for evening sacrifice. Elijah said in verse 30, come here. Come near to me. I like that word, come. Don't you? I sure do. The Most High, come now and let us reason together in Isaiah 1 and 18. Elijah called the people. Come, he said. He repaired the broken down altar of the Lord because the Baal worshippers had tore down the altar with all this sacrifice of blood and stuff and jumping up and down and cutting themselves. This is a good thing to do if men break down the altar of truth. Just build it up again. Don't lack courage. Build up these truths that they have broken down by the tradition back through the years. Some people say, oh, what difference does it make? Let the altar fall. A little tradition won't make many differences. No, you're wrong. He repaired the broken down altar of the Lord. He put it all back in place, and then he put the sacrifices thereon, and he offered a very simple, very trusting prayer to his Heavenly Father. Nothing very pious about it. He just made a simple prayer that the kind that God, hallelujah, answers. He answers him. The lightning from heaven. And all of a sudden, the skies were split into two, and down the coronary of the heaven came the bolt of heavy lightning. Kindled by the glory of God. It came down and devoured the altar. The sacrifice, the altar and all. Over there, over here. On the side of Balaam, the people began to shout. Verse 39, the Lord says, It is God. He is the God. He swung over Elijah and said, choose whom you will serve. The death sentence was on these, hallelujah, 850 false religious leaders, and they were immediately slain as the disobedient will be in judgment day. I want you to understand something. You can choose who you want to serve, choose who you want to do what you do with, but in the end, it will tell the story. And those who teach others to disobey God's laws, and Matthew 5:17, Yahshua says, think not that I'm coming to destroy the law or the prophets. Do you remember that? As long as heaven is overhead or earth underfoot, so long must be the laws endured. You cannot change God's laws to your understanding, so you can do whatever you want to do. And then he said, go on to warn the very lowest account. At the very least in heaven is the man who teaches individuals to break the commandments of God. I will tell you this. It is a terrible responsibility. Why is bad enough? Do you wrong yourself? But it's all the worse to teach others to break God's commandments. So they all suffered under the death sentence. See, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life. When you choose sin, you choose death. And then he said, and now Elijah called a special season of prayer, cried to God, and he said, return the curse. He returned the curse. He would place it on Israel. Yes, he would turn back his terrible famine and his terrible drought. He went up to the mountainside alone to pray. Looking toward the sea, he prayed desperately, precisely, and perseveringly. He cried to God again, and he pleaded with God. And after a while, the young servant brought back the report. There is a little cloud, not very big, about the size of a man's hand. That wasn't very much to tie your faith to, was it? You didn't see that, but the Bible says you must have faith in the grain of a mustard. Hard to get a storm out of a cloud that's harder, that's no bigger than the size of a hand. But it was enough for Elijah's faith. And that's why I think about. That is why I think about faith. It can hang upon every small event. But faith holds on God. And God honors faith. Elijah rose from the place of prayer and called. Tell Ahab to get ready. Get into his chariot. He better be on his way and never make it. Hallelujah. In time. A great storm is coming. Imagine a storm out of a little tiny cloud about the size of a man's hand. But it was enough for faith to move God on Elijah's behalf. So Elijah girded himself up and stood before the king and said, O king, I will go before you. It is said, he ran before the chariot of horses, and he ran all the way as the king cried. It was the king crying. He was the cry of the king. The king crying means tell what I say, in season, out of season, when they want to hear, when they don't want to hear, when they hate you, when they like you, when they can't despise you. Tell the truth. And what is pronounced? He was to pronounce before the king in verse 46. Prepare the way. The king is coming. Out of the way with all, move all the stumbling blocks. Out of the way. The king is coming. The king is coming. The Lord is coming. They did that in those oriented countries. That's what they did. And you know what? Yes, Elijah was the very symbol of the last message to all the world, announcing the king is coming. The Bible said that Elijah's message will again go to the world in the last days. Another appeal against with him crying once again. King is coming. The king is coming. Prepare ye the way. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. I think it is a wonderful privilege to be forerunner for the king. Don't you? I hope you do. Elijah was a type of people of God who lived in the last day, just before Yahshua comes back. The Lord still have people preaching his word and let people know. Don't think it's not strange because he's coming. Oh, he's coming. Yes, he's coming. Ready or not, he's coming. Revelation 17, and the dragon was wrought in the woman, and went to the mark, make the war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of God and the faith of Joshua. Don't you see it, friend? It is in plain view. Elijah, the people of the last day, stands out for God. They are the minority. For Elijah's day, Elijah was outnumbered by 850 priests and preachers to one. Don't you fall for that old catch of the devil. The majority are always right. No, my friend. They must be sure they're not always right. But they must be surely they can't be wrong. The big church preachers are wrong then and they are wrong today. The Lord is coming. Be ready. Be ready. He's coming. Don't you know something else that happened with Elijah? You have to admit it. He did go through a period of discouragement. The word came to him that Jezebel read of sworn and vengeance on him. And he fled for his life, and then he was discouraging that. And guess what? Under the Joppa tree, in the desert, he prayed, the Most High, just let me die. Just imagine what would happen, would have been happened if God had answered the prayer he had wanted him to answer. But guess what? God never left him, nor forsake him. And why would it be? Because he brought disgrace to the recent reform. But nevertheless, check this out. God sent his angel to find Elijah out there in the wilderness where there he no food, but he promised he'll never leave him or forsake him. Remember this, my people. Elijah was a forerunner then. He's a forerunner now. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for the breaking of your bread of the word. Thank you for the clarification of your word being spoken. Bless those that will hear the word tonight. Take it, Father God. Eat all of it. Eat it, praise God, all of it. It is good to thy belly. It is sweet to thy belly, but bitter to thy stomach, to thy mouth. But, Father, I thank you for your word tonight. Bless us going. Bless us coming. We will give you the praise. We will give you the glory. And we thank you for all that you have done for us. Until this time tomorrow, we still have more to talk about. Elijah, I'm excited because Elijah is alive and he's bringing it to us clear. He's not something he's letting us know. God took care of Elijah, and he translated for Elijah. God did all he could do for Elijah. And eight people of that last day, Elijah, the people of the last day. We'll talk about that tomorrow. You be blessed, and be glad. This is the day that the Lord has made. You be blessed.